Hi, I'm Dr. Pamela Peek. Welcome to episode 39 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Today we're going to be talking about, well, why it's time to treat yourself with body kindness. But before we start, I want to make sure you know this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us. I love reading these reviews, by the way, and I read every flipping one of them. So come on down, give us some feedback because we love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about Her.
Today, we're going to be talking about it's time to treat yourself with some body kindness, and we have with us registered dietitian and author of Body Kindness, Rebecca Scritchfield. Now, the title of the book is Body Kindness, and Rebecca is a well-being coach, registered dietitian, nutritionist, certified health and fitness specialist, and author of this wonderful book we're going to be talking about. Through her weight-neutral, mindfulness-based counseling practice, she helps people create a better life with workable goals that fit individual interests. She's influenced so many people through her writing, podcasts, and appearances in media outlets, which include nationals. So, you know, let's just hop right into this. First, Rebecca, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, you know, tell me why you wrote this book. What was this really all about for you?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that. I will often tell people that I believe I wrote the book for myself first, so I'm just happy if it helps anyone else out there. The theme and the title of the book, Body Kindness, is not even the idea that I originally sold with my agent. We were working on this idea that ends up being a part of the book, but it was called Happy Hours. And it was the idea that if you take a moment to invest in your mood and kind of treat yourself well, that gives you energy and improves your mood, which helps improve your health. And long story short, after I had my second child, I found myself completely exhausted. I found myself kind of lost between the mom identity and the work identity, not being kind to my body. My inner critic voice kind of roared at me. And I just started unraveling, you know, downward spiraling, not taking care of myself. And even it would come back to my body. So I would look in the mirror and judge myself. And I kind of tried to diet, do things that I knew wasn't really good for me. And finally, you know, my husband just looked at me and he said, you know, I know you know how to get yourself to a better place. Nobody can do this but you. You know, you counsel people on changing behaviors in positive ways. You know, I'm here for you, but we need to figure out what's going on in your mind. And that's essentially how the book was born, where I started by helping myself make a better mind and body connection. And, you know, I needed to put appearance on the back burner and really focus on my well-being, my mindset, how I talk to myself, the goals I set for myself, and find a different motivation that would work for me that really focused on creating a better life. And that's the founding principle of the book is, what can you do that helps you create a better life?
All right. So how do you do that? Let's sort of get down into the front trenches here. What do you do? What is this mindfulness-based counseling that you do? How do you get a woman who's all tied up in knots, as you were, about appearance and about the fact that your body's just not doing what you want it to do. And the scale is, you know, going, you know, skyrocketing in numbers. And so are your sizes. At the same time, you feel rotten about your body. All right. Put all that together. How do you do that?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I would say is that a lot of women especially are showing up kind of tired and ready for something new. Like, so they're just realizing that, you know, dieting isn't working. It will work for as long as they can stay on the diet. They never really lose what they want. But they also feel deprived, you know, mentally deprived of food that brings them pleasure and joy. And when they let themselves have it, they tend to overeat it. And that it becomes a scary situation. So what I find is that women will show up saying, I don't know if I can promise you that right now I can love my body exactly as it is. Like, I'm not there yet. But I know that I can't do another diet. I can't have another day of broiled chicken breast and steamed broccoli, and that's the healthy thing. And they will often say, and I think this speaks to our culture, they will often say, the way that I know how to get healthy is through weight loss diets. So they really are open and asking for help, kind of like, if there's a better way, show me a better way to get healthier, happier, stronger, and more energetic. And in my experience in my own life, in my experience with clients, there is research out there that supports this too, that dieting actually can lead to long-term weight gain and increases in BMI. And we're seeing some interesting studies come out. Kevin Hall, in particular, who's a researcher at the NIH, did a study on the Biggest Loser contestants. He's had some other studies come out that has shown that when, you know, you cut calories, when you overexercise, you lose weight, that, first of all, sometimes the math doesn't work out. It's, we're not calculating number equations, you know, so you're expecting to lose more than you actually do. But then you harm your metabolism in the process, and that even as you regain weight, the metabolism doesn't necessarily bounce back to what it was. And what his studies essentially show is that you're better off not dieting in the first place and building the healthy habit. And really what I like to explain to clients is we're not trying to fight weight loss. We're not trying to control it. You can observe it. We're not saying weight loss is bad. But by and large, the message that we give people is if you want to get healthy, you need to actively work on losing weight. And that doesn't always make a person healthier, and it doesn't always lead to better habits. If it worked, we would need one diet, we'd all do it, and that person who created it would be a millionaire. So we really need to think bigger. Mind-body connection, what's a way that I can work with the person I am now to become the person who makes better choices, who takes better care of herself, who is compassionate toward herself, who's flexible, while you work on changing behaviors that maybe you're not satisfied with.
Interesting. And so what is your biggest challenge when you're working with someone like this? You know, when you're using this mindfulness based formula, and you're talking to a woman especially who is just absolutely, you know, pummeled with so many distractions, and it's hard to stay in the present and all the rest of it. How do you work with someone like that? What's your secret?
Yeah, so the key with it being mindfulness based is that it opens you up to being aware, because you can't start the cascade of decision making without awareness. And you can't build new habits without first being aware of what's happening that is matters to you. So if you're mindful and you can pause and say, what's happening right now that really matters? Now you're aware, and now you can make a decision that's likely to make a difference in that moment. So it might be you're reaching for food at night when everyone else is in bed, and there's a part of you that's trying to be mindful and trying to pause and says, hey, you know, what's happening right now that matters. And you want to tap into that voice and say, I'm tired and today, you know, wasn't very sweet. I want to eat sweets with my feet up in front of the TV for a little bit, you know. So when you can be honest about what's going on, and no matter what you want, kind of give yourself permission, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what you want to do, say, you know, this is okay that I want to do this, but let me think about my options here. Is this what I want tomorrow? Is this what I want in the long term? Is this really going to help right now? And that can help people kind of take from eating a whole pint of ice cream to a small bowl that they can savor mindfully, or just decide, you know, now's not a good time to enjoy ice cream. So the first thing I do is I explain that to them. I help them understand how the body kindness approach is actually freedom from dieting and from rules and all these things that they are actually looking for. And then when I go into this idea of presence matters first, you have to know what's going on, how is it making you feel? And I work with them on their skills for that. So I give them something called PACT that they can remember and work with on their own. So P stands for presence, what's happening right now that matters. A, acceptance, no matter what it is, you're allowed to think and feel that way. You're allowed to want to snack even though you're not hungry. You're allowed to want to skip the workout. Just give yourself permission to be in that not so good place. And C is choose, and that's look at your choice options. And then T is take immediate action on the choice that's going to give you a better life. And I use it myself. It's why I did a 20-minute short jog walk today instead of nothing at all. Because yesterday was a rest day, and I knew I needed some amount of movement today, and I wasn't feeling energized for it. But I thought about my choice options, and I said, you know, I think that my body will be more energized, and I'll be more grateful tomorrow knowing that I did something today. So I didn't do the intense 90-minute yoga class today because I didn't have time or energy for that, but I did something that was taking care of myself. And that's what I want clients to get going in, this mindset of I can learn how to make choices that are kind, gentle, compassionate, and help me become the kind of person I want to be. And now I'm setting my own rules and my own standards for what I care about, as opposed to, well, this diet plan says cut out all fruit, or this diet plan says cut out the beans. You know, it actually puts your focus on training yourself to make decisions that fit you better. And that...
Well, you have a neat little tool in your book. It's the Body Kindness Balance Sheet. Each time you... And then fill in the blank. So each time you insult yourself, balance it with a compliment. Each time you spend too much time at the mirror, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, explain where that comes from and how that works.
Yeah. So our thoughts become our beliefs. So the more we repeat these thoughts over and again, they end up becoming what we believe. And the way what we believe impacts the habits that we're going to form. And not all thoughts are helpful. You know, so I talk in the book about thought bullies. You know, when I mentioned earlier about after having my second baby and being exhausted, I would, like, you know, if I had a bad night of sleep or something like that, I might, like, you know, walk past the mirror and just say something negative, like, you look gross, you know? And I mean, how was that helpful at all? How did that help me want to take care of myself? How did it help me feel good? It's not. So that is an example of a thought bully. And what we can do, if we're in the mindset of I want to be good to my body, I want to take care of myself, that means we can show ourselves love and compassion. So even if, you know, we own the fact that we're not happy in our current body and that we do hope to lose weight, even if it's that kind of person, if that's where you're at, you can still call it truth. You can still say, but I'm going to take care of this current body because I respect her, because I care about her. So what action would that kind of person take if you gave yourself some body bash? And a woman on an average day will tell herself 13 negative things about her body. So, you know, we're doing this frequently. So what if when we said something negative, it is really not helpful? doesn't help create a better life, doesn't help boost our mood, doesn't make us want to, you know, make the salad, at least for good reasons, unless that salad is going to be a punishment, which again, how does that make somebody enjoy eating? So you can find those connections and say, you know what, I'm done with body bashing. That's not the kind of person I want to be. So when I say something negative about my body, I am going to replace it with a compliment. And, you know, fish from your friends. Find out if you can't make a list of things that you appreciate about your body, your eyes or your hair or anything at all. Can you appreciate that it helps you have a child? Can you appreciate that it helps you walk? You know, how can you find some amount of gratitude and respect for where you're at? That builds a truth and a connection, which is essential for body kindness. There's three pillars: making your choices from a place of love, connect your mind and body, and being fully committed to caring for yourself. Those are the three things you must do to practice body kindness. And when you do, it becomes blatantly clear what choices are body kindness and what choices are not. And all that negativity, trashing, you know, that you might do because you're just not happy where you're at, you can redirect that energy into something positive and inspiring. And what's going to result is you're going to be more likely to build long-term habits because you learn how to think differently and act differently. You literally change your brain. And then you also have a happier life because you feel it's more meaningful. You know, you're happier with what you do to take care of yourself and finally made peace with something that you've battled with most of your life, which is your body. And we've seen that at all types of weights and shapes. We've seen in kids as young as 3 start to build issues with body image. And that we're not born with that. That is taught by our dieting culture that says the most valuable thing a woman could do is work on her weight and her appearance and her looks. And, you know, that's another big reason why I wanted to write that book. I wanted to show that there is a different way outside of dieting that actually is likely to improve your health, your well-being, and your happiness.
All right. Well, then what do you do with the classic woman situation? I know all my Her podcast, you know, listeners are saying, oh, yeah, yeah. But what about emotional eating? How do you mindfully get through that?
Yeah. Well, I dealt with emotional eating myself, and I was a chronic dieter. I started around 9 years old. I talk a little bit about, personal stories at various stages of my life in the book, as well as client stories. And so, I think the first thing is that I can relate because I've done all that stuff too, you know? And I think that for me, what really helped me heal emotional eating and really get it under control was understanding the beneficial purpose of all emotions. And I do teach this in the book. What I learned about myself is that there were certain things that would trigger emotional eating. And it was a certain high intensity of anxiety that I would feel. And I literally, the way I can describe it is it was like the ground was shaking underneath me, kind of like an earthquake, and I was losing my stability. And like I felt this loss of sense of control. And then, okay, then I would go to food and I would eat emotionally. And it didn't matter if it was a small amount or a larger amount. I felt guilty about it and I would judge myself after. And I even was doing this early in my career as a dietitian. I wasn't really done with all my mind-body work yet. And I was still early in my career doing dieting stuff and putting people on diets. But I got some great coaching on intuitive eating with Evelyn Tribbley, and she's a fellow dietitian. And I really learned about intuitive eating and how to use that as a process. I refer to that in body kindness. But essentially, when you know that all your emotions have a purpose and you feel a negative emotion come up, you don't need to ignore it. Ignoring it usually, you know, you numb with food. It's about making space for it. So that idea of it's okay to feel this bad emotion, even if you did something wrong, you know, like I accidentally yelled at my older daughter today. She's only 4. and I feel guilty about raising my voice. We're late, we're late, we're going to be late for school. And I apologized to her this morning. I will apologize to her later. But for me to do anything today, to beat myself up about it unnecessarily, for me to go eat emotionally about it, doesn't solve any problem. So, you know, listeners need to know that rationally thinking, emotional eating doesn't solve anything. If you can be fully committed to beating emotional eating, you make room for those negative emotions, let yourself feel what you're going to feel, and then go do something that helps to neutralize that negative emotion. And it could be anything from a distracting Sudoku puzzle to I'm going to lay on my back and just breathe, to calling up
a friend.
Well,
I prefer the original Star Trek episodes.
Oh, there you go.
And with Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
That's when Captain Kirk still had a six-pack instead of what he has now. Oh, my gosh. You know, sometimes you just literally have to take yourself out of that stressful situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mentally,
yeah.
Physically, all of the above, and just whatever. You know, this is why God made dogs to walk. And, you know, there are creative ways to be able to get around all of this because these are, you know, typical things that come up. I think a lot of women have trouble with the mindfulness thing because they consider it work. It's like it's so much easier to default back to, you know, just knee-jerk reactions instead of taking a moment and actually coming up with a response. So that's why I think when you talk about supporting yourself with more compassion, it's 50 times better. And when you have a little conversation with yourself, which is, would you please get yourself off this ridiculous diet, gerbil wheel, and all this stuff that's really seriously based upon research. So last year, nobody should be doing this insanity to themselves. And you of all people as a registered dietitian, know that obviously nutrition plays a monster role here in nourishing ourselves, mind and body, but that it just got way out of control with crazy refined processed foods and with a real obsession about appearance versus health, and it goes on and on. So I, you know, in going through your book, which is just wonderful, everyone out there should be grabbing Body Kindness by Rebecca Scritchfield, because I just love it. It's transform your health from the inside out and never say diet again. This is really becoming the mantra and the trend in so many books now and also programs. When you're looking at a program that will be sustainable for life. You use that word a lot in your book when you're looking at fitness for life, et cetera, and fitness for your life. And the other thing I liked about the book, too, which was the whole thing seems to be customized and individualized for the person who's actually reading it, meaning that there's no, you know, scripted, you've got to do this, and I don't care what your history is or what your unique issues are, you know, just follow this one thing and shut up and do it. Versus, you know, take 5 seconds and just, you know, do something radical, like have a conversation with yourself. Yo, how are you doing? Check in. And then look at the emotions, you know, when you talk about emotional eating and the rest of it. And then I love the examples you give, which I think are very helpful to readers. Cheryl's blueprint, Body Kindness at Work, when you look at what happened to this one person as they kind of worked through everything from self-compassion, how it affected sleep, the role of hobbies, what happened with just time, you know, time management. You know, because and that's yet another stressor, as you're well aware. So I just really love this. Give us one more piece of wisdom, just one, over the course of a minute, so that we can hear one last wonderful piece of wisdom from you as we conclude this marvelous podcast.
Sure. I appreciate your kind words about the book and like I said, it was personally meaningful and transformative to me, and I just hope it helps other people. I think to bring it all home, I think what people need to hear is that we are all part of a dieting culture, appearance-driven beauty culture, that can take a long time to change. But we are not helpless in this situation. We see a trend of body positivity that is about accepting and respecting size diversity, you know, whether it's embrace your curves, love the skin you're in, all those types of things, and really about inclusivity and non-judgment. And I appreciate that trend, and I hope it grows. The message that I have is that open it up to how we reject the idea of dieting based on the premise of that we don't have data that it's helpful. We actually have data that it's potentially harmful, and that you can, you know, be more open to, you know, just putting your weight and shape and appearance on the back burner and at the same time work on improving your health and well-being. So it's not my life begins when I lose that weight, or crossing my fingers, I'll do this approach, but I really hope
Excellent.
It produces weight loss. You know, it's opening up your mind to doing the work yourself.
Right. And also practicing body kindness, which, everyone, is the name of the book written by our wonderful expert for this podcast, Rebecca Scritchfield. And the title of the book is Body Kindness, and the website is bodykindnessbook.com. Thank you, Rebecca, for being on the Her podcast. Just
Thank you for having
loved
me.
It. It's just wonderful. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes, because we want to attract a heck of a lot more people just like you. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. And also, please leave us a review as well, because I read these things. Love it, love it, love it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening. And stay well.